Welcome to the Success in Medicine podcast. I'm Dr. Rajani Katta, author of the best-selling Residency Match Guide, The Successful Match, and creator of the Residency Interview 101 course. This is a special series on the podcast called Energized at Work. We hear so much about burnout in medicine, and it is a real and very challenging problem. That's why I wanted to learn from doctors in all types of specialties who are the opposite of burned out. These are the doctors who are energized by work. I'm looking forward to sharing lessons and secrets from these doctors on this special series. I am really excited and honored to be speaking today to Dr. Pooja Varshney. Dr. Varshney is a pediatric allergist and immunologist. And one of the reasons I was so interested in speaking with her is because she's really on the cutting edge of medicine, and specifically when it comes to food allergy. So she's the director of the Dell Children's Hospital Food Allergy Center, where she performs clinical research, and that is a clinical research center of distinction. In addition, she's an academic pediatric allergist and immunologist because she's an associate professor of pediatrics at the Dell Medical School at University of Texas, Austin. So I think there are some really interesting lessons to be learned from Dr. Varshney in the areas of really being on this challenging area of medicine, as well as performing clinical research and then her academic responsibilities as well. So thank you so much for taking the time to come on the podcast and speak with us, Dr. Varshney.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you so much for the invitation, and really happy to be here.
Oh, well, I thought I could just start by asking you to tell us about what a week in the life of a pediatric allergist and immunologist looks like.
Yeah, so, you know, as I think most physicians could attest to, no week is exactly the same. I think we all, you know, always, many of us have a lot of different balls that we're juggling. The three or four main components of my job are, first and foremost, taking care of patients. So I spend 3 days a week seeing patients in clinic and have a really interesting and diverse patient population here at Dell Children's Medical Group, seeing a wide range of allergic and immunologic conditions. And then as part of my clinical duties, we also have an inpatient service that we all rotate through. So depending on the week, I may also see patients in the hospital as a consultant. The other days I do clinical research, which means that I'm seeing patients for research studies. So that's typically also direct contact with patients and families, though from a very different perspective. And I really feel like both my clinical practice and my clinical research practice complement each other and just help me be a better doctor. So I love spending time doing both. And then the other part of research is, of course, reading and writing and meeting with colleagues, collaborating with other food allergy centers and other pediatric allergists across the country, which really helps me learn so much and informs my work by learning, you know, what others are working on, and really helps us stay on that cutting edge of the food allergy world. And then teaching. So teaching is a huge passion and something I love, both bedside teaching. So we have medical students and residents that rotate here with us, as well as residents that I mentor and medical students that I mentor for research projects and quality improvement projects and all sorts of fun stuff. So and then didactic lectures that I'll do for the medical school. So really a lot of variety, which I really love. Sometimes it can feel overwhelming, but most of the time I just really love the variety, and I really feel like each role complements the other and just keeps me on my toes, but also makes me a better physician, which at the end of the day, you know, everything we do is for patient care.
Oh, wow. I mean, it sounds amazing, all of the work you do. And I have several questions that I want to follow up with, but I will start by asking, what do you find most energizing about your work as a pediatric allergist and immunologist?
You know, sometimes I just feel so lucky. I feel like this field found me because it's just, I love everything about it. And We probably all feel like our specialty is the best, but I love my field. I feel like it has the continuity of care. So the patient relationships really energize me, the long-term relationships and really watching a child. I oftentimes see children very young. So I see infants as food allergy and eczema often shows up quite early, and then really following them, throughout childhood. Because we don't unfortunately yet have a cure for any allergic disease, we do really aim to help kids live with those conditions and lead active, happy childhoods. But that continuity of care and that long-term relationship really energizes me. In addition to the fact that the scientific field itself is just fascinating, the immune system is so complex, and I feel like with the rise in childhood food allergy and all allergic disease, there's just been a explosion of knowledge, both like on the basic science, basic immunology front, as well as in clinical applications and clinical research, diagnostics and treatment. So there's just so much work to do, and it just really keeps us thinking about better ways that we can help our patients and their families. So that all of that really energizes me.
Which is amazing. And I've thought about that too, just about all of the advances. I mean, there's two pieces of this, right? Just this explosion and not just food allergies, the way we think about anaphylaxis, but all of these different food allergy syndromes. Like clinically, it's really surprising to me because I've seen that over the course of my career. But then at the same time, what you're talking about, we are meeting this moment. Individuals like you and the people that with whom you collaborate are all coming together to really try to attack this problem. And just like you said, from the basic science and the clinical area. So I think that's fascinating.
Yeah, it really is. And I mean, you as an experienced dermatologist, and I lean so much on our pediatric dermatology group here. I think that's another thing that energizes me is our partnership with so many of the other with the pediatricians and the pediatric subspecialists, because I think we all know that medicine is a team sport, and that team involves like a great staff that supports us, as well as these connections with our colleagues. And there's not a day that goes by that I don't speak with one of our dermatologists or gastroenterologists about a tough EoE patient, or a rheumatologist about a complex autoimmune dysregulation syndrome, and then our pediatric colleagues. So I think it's just I think that's what makes medicine really fun, and definitely gives us that energy to keep going.
To keep going, right? Now, I know that you're in academics, but what are the main types of conditions that you see? Do you see mainly patients with food allergy because of your academic specialty, or do you see the types of patients that a general allergist would see as well?
That's a great question. I think because of some of the maybe unique aspects of where I landed, which I love where I'm at, I really built a pretty broad-based allergy practice. So I really see everything, although definitely my patient population is enriched with food allergy just over the years. So I see a lot of food allergy, but I see plenty of patients who have other allergic conditions. So asthma, allergic rhinitis, atopic dermatitis, other forms that are other. Maybe less common forms of food allergy, like eosinophilic esophagitis, and we do a multidisciplinary clinic for that. We see a lot of drug allergy. I do see some immunodeficiency. So really a wide range of allergic conditions.
Well, I think it's amazing that you have this variety of conditions and that you are on the cutting edge of medicine and you're making a real difference in these young patients' lives. So I have to ask you the other side of it, and that sometimes I imagine it can be overwhelming because you've got a lot of responsibilities, a lot of sort of things that you're doing. But if you were talking to a medical student, what are some of the, so I have a saying where I love my work, but I don't always love my job. Like I love the work of speaking with my patients one-on-one, but I don't always love like prior authorizations. So in your field, what are the aspects of the job that you don't necessarily love?
You hit the nail on the head. I love that. I love my work, but I don't always love my job. That's absolutely, I mean, a job is a job, right? So there are going to be some parts that are tough. So definitely, I think the struggles with our larger healthcare system, whether it's prior authorization, insurance companies denying necessary treatment, really having to make a case for our patients for treatments that we've deemed medically necessary, and having to prove that to a payer. I think that's just honestly can be soul sucking. Pardon my French. Just can really like drain the energy. I think the electronic health record, everyone's going to complain about that. I'll I'll definitely throw my hat in that ring. It's a lot of clerical work for that just adds to our kind of our burden. Yeah, if all I had to do was sit in an exam room, talk to patients, do my history and physical, devise a treatment plan, using shared decision making and try to, make the best plans for my patients, that would be great. It's like when you leave the room, all the other stuff you have to do, that I find most draining.
Oh, I bet. Yeah, I hear you on that. And I'm also interested because you do have a lot of areas that you're working in. What are some of the strategies that you've learned to be able to handle all these different responsibilities? Do you have any advice for our students?
I think knowing your priorities, each week, each day, I think definitely surrounding yourself with a good team. I could definitely not do this without a great team. I do think that the idea of protected time is important. So my clinic days are really busy, by design. I enjoy seeing patients. I like having a busy clinical practice. The reality of working in a health system is, that's always something that is valued, but that I also enjoy that. So, but I do pack those clinic days and expect those to really run efficiently or try to. And for that, I need a really good team. But that allows me then on my research or academic days to really dive into the projects that I need to do, the meetings, the, of course, seeing research patients also. And so I think that I have found that to be helpful. And I think even some really detail nuts and bolts, like instead of doing a half day of clinic, which always bled over into an afternoon, and then I was just wrapping up clinical stuff and not really able to get, research or academic work, just, stacking those clinics and doing full days. That way, my clinical days, I'm here, my staff knows I'm all here. Any clinical, questions that are coming in, we really try to knock all that out so that during my research and academic time, I can focus on that. It always doesn't work out that smoothly, but that's what I aim for. Yeah, and I think, protecting your own time is important. So I think, and sometimes only you can set those boundaries. I think it takes some time. Obviously, you have to kind of earn your stripes where you're at and to be able to make those decisions. And I think, of course, folks, if you're employed, which that's the reality that many physicians are, you have to meet the goals that are set for you or that, are in your job description. But I think if you're doing that, then I think, you want to be in a place that you can just have that ownership of the ability to set those boundaries. And so it's taken time. I mean, it's not been an easy road, but over the years I've found that, really being able to structure my own schedule, first of all, gives you that sense of autonomy that I think is so important for physicians. We are highly skilled professionals. We should not be made to feel like we're hamsters on the wheel. The flip side of that is, yeah, if you're given control of your schedule and you see, four patients a day, well, that's not going to fly either, right? So I think, but I think, you have to work towards a place where you can have that authority to be able to structure your time in the way that will help you achieve the goals that you want to achieve. And, I knew I wanted to establish a food allergy research program. I knew I wanted to see patients and see a diverse patient population, enriched with food allergy. And it takes time to get there, but I think you also have to voice, what your goals are and how and what your game plan is to achieve it, so that both you and others know, like, what you need to accomplish those goals.
Yes, you just said that so perfectly because I feel as though in medical school and in residency, we are not taught how to really outline those goals and then how to understand what your employer's goals are, how you can help your employer reach their goals while still reaching your own goals. And as you've learned, and as I've learned through the course of my career, it really takes a lot of intentionality and communicating. Persuading, influencing, to be able to make sure that the employer is able to, and they have a number of metrics and goals that they need to reach. But it's pretty remarkable that you've been able to learn that. I'm sure some of that was via experience, hard-earned experience, but to be able to get a place now where you were able to design the kind of clinic that you wanted.
Well, thank you. Yeah, no, I definitely can't take the credit. I mean, I've had great mentors. I've had great family members and a support system that's helped me sometimes see that or be able to like own that. But I think, you know, there's a lot of that imposter syndrome people talk about, especially when you're a young physician. You've always been used to be like low on the totem pole, and it takes some time to really kind of get to where you have that agency to be able to, you know, to be able to kind of design that, you know, the job that you want, right? I mean, we've all worked so hard, and I feel like the system can kind of beat it out of you or make it seem like you can't, you know, do what you intended to do. And I think, you know, we're all hardworking by nature. You can't get through medical training without being hardworking. But I think sometimes like translating that to a workplace is different when you've been on this like path of training, which is different than being in the real world.
Yes. Oh, that's such valuable advice. I also wanted to follow that up with a few more questions about your clinical research path, because I think what you're doing is amazing, where you're taking these advances and you're really translating it to the patient that's there in the clinic in front of you. What advice would you have for a student who's interested in clinical research in the future?
You know, that's a great question, and it's definitely an area that I'm passionate about. I feel just so fortunate that I ended up in a fellowship where I had a mentor, Dr. Wesley Burks, who really, I think, set me on this path, and many of his mentees, because he was such an inspirational clinical researcher. And I think, you know, seeking out mentorship is really important. I think, you know, going to meetings really helps. So going to your professional meetings, joining your professional societies. I know like our Academy of Allergy has been really vital and really developing a lot of our careers, whether it's giving you opportunities to present your work, collaborating with others, networking on committees, you know, getting projects that way. And then I think, you know, really digging into clinical research, there's various ways to do that. You know, there's investigator-initiated studies, there's industry-sponsored clinical trials, there's work funded by the NIH and federal sources. And I think each of those have different skill sets, but they're all very valuable forms of clinical research. You know, I didn't do any specific like master's in clinical research or any additional training outside of my fellowship, although my fellowship did have a third year focused on clinical research, which I think really helped me because I didn't have tons of research going into fellowship. I went to a really busy pediatric residency program. Most of my learning was on my feet. So fellowship was really the time where I really got to explore research. And so, you know, I think there's a lot of different fellowships out there, but that I think did give me the time and space to really build some of those clinical research skills and then, you know, get out there at meetings and speak and put together abstracts and papers and really help me learn. I think the other part is thinking about where you end up working. I think if you're in a traditional academic structure, you know, there are oftentimes tools to help early career investigators get going. I ended up at a center which didn't have a, at that time, there was no medical school here. So I came here really wanting to start the research program and was very thankful that there actually was some structure for clinical trials because we had a great CF center already. They were doing clinical trials. Our rheumatologist was. So there was definitely some infrastructure that could help. And I think that's really key because it would be really hard to, you know, get the IRB and the regulatory support if there's not some existing framework. And then of course, since the medical school opened, there's a whole team that can really, you know, help with a lot of the other pieces that are necessary to run a clinical trial.
Oh, that is fantastic advice. And there's a lot of pieces to clinical research that if you're not in it, you don't necessarily know about or would be able to picture. So I think the one that you started with, finding an amazing mentor to help start you in that process is critical. So
Yeah, because if I think being in that fellowship environment, you know, with a really robust research team, that's just where I learned a lot from those around me. And they were just so generous with their knowledge and sharing their skills. And so that really helped kind of set me on that path. Always indebted.
wow. Well, Dr. Varshney, I'm so happy that you were able to share, an overview of what you as an academic pediatric allergist and immunologist is able to work on. And it's really inspiring as well to see how you're still on the front lines of patient care, but that you're advancing the field as well through your work with the Food Allergy Research Center. So I'm just really gratified that you were able to take the time today to speak to our audience. Thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome. I'm really honored for the opportunity. I hope that I helped in some small way, give an insight into what I do and hope to help your students. Yeah, and I will just, I guess, say or end close by saying that I do think that patients are our best teachers, and just I do find that relationship with my patients and the questions that they ask completely inform and guide, our research. So, I think that's always been my North Star, and that's just continued to guide me in my work.